This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and it's great to have you with us. Advertisements for the travel and lifestyle brand Away seem to be everywhere, whether it's the New York City subway or on Instagram. Their sleek luggage has become a go-to for jet-setting millennials and celebrities alike. The sky literally seemed to be the limit for the fast-growing startup. But last week, the tech news site The Verge published a story about the toxic culture inside the company, revealing an environment where employees said they were pressured to work around the clock and were also harshly criticized by company executives on the popular chat platform Slack. Away is just the latest startup geared towards millennials to be called out for a cutthroat work environment. Similar situations have been reported at places like WeWork and the bra company Third Love. Revelations about these companies highlight a disconnect between how these brands are presenting themselves to the public and how they actually operate behind the scenes. I've got Zoe Schiffer, a tech reporter for The Verge, who broke the story about Away's toxic work environment last week. Zoe, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Also joining us is Aaron Griffith, a reporter at The New York Times covering startups and venture capital. Aaron, welcome.
Thanks.
So, Zoe, what are some of the major issues with the culture at Away?
The company looks really good on social media. They pour a lot of money into Facebook and Instagram advertising. But the reality inside the company is a little harsher. Employees are made to work exceedingly long hours. They, until recently, many of them weren't getting overtime pay. They were getting paid about $40,000 a year, which starting out in New York City can be kind of tough. And they were having things like paid time off and work from home flexibility taken away from them if they didn't meet certain metrics.
There was an example in your piece, Zoe, about employees who were using a private Slack channel to talk about some of the issues they were having. What happened there?
So this is what made Away kind of different from the classic startups that Aaron has written about really beautifully, which kind of glorify the hustle culture. Away had a ban against employees emailing each other directly. They were asked not to send direct messages. And so they used this office-wide chat platform called Slack to kind of communicate about basically everything going on at the company. Everything had to take place in front of everyone else. And executives really prided themselves on giving people harsh and often cruel feedback. They would lay into people for small mistakes. And so last year, a group of employees, LGBTQ folks and people of color, created a private group to kind of talk about what was going on. And when executives found out about it, they fired six people almost immediately without really a conversation of any sort, because they said they had been racially insensitive. And employees said that, in fact, they were making kind of small jokes about people not being woke and perhaps white manager managing a group of people of color who wasn't quite understanding their experience at the company.
You're covering these companies more broadly, Aaron. Zoe just said there was a ban on employees emailing each other in the company. How common are those types of communication limitations in companies that are, at least on the outside, made to seem like this is this, you know, progressive, woke company?
I would say, in general, Silicon Valley startups are known for being pretty experimental with the way their company cultures and the way they run things. They're obviously always trying to be more efficient. And, you know, a lot of corporate culture is often cribbed from Silicon Valley culture. And so these kinds of things can tend to spread out. But I think that is actually pretty uncommon. I mean, you see that kind of thing in companies like Apple and also companies like Theranos that are both have a reputation for being really siloed and really private and keeping all their projects extremely secretive to avoid leaks. But I think most startups usually are not that extreme with their use of Slack or with preventing employees from emailing or commiserating with one another. But I think as we see more companies going fully remote and, you know, all of their workers are kind of distributed across a lot of different places and they're using these tools like Slack and they're using tools like Zoom, which is a video app, as a way to replace the idea of everyone being in one place together, we're seeing more creative uses and ways to control the culture. And so this is one really extreme example of that.
Zoe, this is not the only company that's sort of, I would say, geared at millennial products or millennials in general, and that markets themselves as so much more than just what they're selling. I mean, you're seeing this happening at other companies, right? This type of toxic work culture, if you will. Tell us a little bit about places like WeWork or Thinx.
Yeah, it's definitely not only Away. I mean, one thing we know is that many of these companies use their mission and their values to kind of galvanize employees and get them very excited about working at the company, but also to almost manipulate them into working these crazy long hours. They say, we're all in it together. We're a family. If you were really dedicated, you would work until 3 a.m. That's just what we're doing. And so this was kind of something that goes back almost to Amazon, where they really indoctrinated employees as soon as they started saying, like, forget everything you've known before. These are the values you should take on and kind of learn a new way of working in the world. What we're seeing now is that employees come in, especially to some of these newer startups, and they expect it to feel different. They expect to be treated with respect. If they're told we are a family, they in some ways expect to be treated like a family. But then when they come in and their managers are speaking to them extremely harshly, they're being treated almost inhumanely. I think that they feel hoodwinked in a way.
What are some of the examples that we've seen more specifically, or that you've reported on other companies?
Yeah, so I haven't reported on WeWork. I can speak to a company called Third Love, which I thought was kind of a classic example of really on the outside looking incredibly empowering and woke. They have a female CEO who has a male co-founder, but really she's the one that externally people talk about. She is in all of the marketing and media. And female employees at the company actually say that her husband and co-founder is much more involved in the day-to-day work than they expected when they came in. And he is extremely difficult to work with. They say he bullied them at times. And that's something that we know from the reporting at WeWork that was, you know, a problem there as well. If you looked at WeWork's mission statement, if you were on any of their earnings calls, you would almost have no idea what the company actually did, because the language they used was so highly elevated that it literally seemed like they were saving the world. And I think employees in some ways bought into that. They got very excited about working there, and then they got there and they felt like the reality was so different from what they'd expected coming in that it was a really harsh and kind of precipitous drop.
Erin, how do we explain that disconnect between the so-called mission and values of these companies, what they're selling, the sort of public persona that they give off, and what's happening behind the scenes?
Well, I think it seems like it's happening a lot more frequently recently, and part of that might be because we are possibly at the end of a 8 to 10 year bull run where, you know, everything has just been going up, up, up. And tech companies have always used this sort of change the world mission to excite their employees and get them to, you know, work long hours. But I think the combination of the fact that it's a tight labor market where employees have a choice to go elsewhere, and so they feel more emboldened to speak out if they don't like things because they can always just find another job. And the fact that the good times attract a lot of people who are willing to sort of exploit the good nature of the employees in the tech industry for nefarious means. And I think we're kind of seeing more and more instances of that. And employees are essentially willing to call out that hypocrisy.
And I wonder, too, how much venture capital or the pressure to actually have to grow financially is contributing to some of the toxicity that we're seeing behind closed doors, Erin. Are you noticing that?
Startup culture is designed to prioritize growth above all else. And I think the difference between now and maybe in the 90s was that employees were motivated to work really hard and maybe put up with not so great conditions for a short period of time because they had stock in this company and they knew that they had a really good chance at getting rich and, you know, getting a huge payoff at the end of this like kind of short sprint. But now companies are staying private a lot longer. They're raising a ton more venture capital and they're kind of in this prolonged state of we're a startup. This maybe short sprint for a couple tough years is actually, you know, extending out for a really long period of time. It's kind of like the norm. And also a lot of the employees, as these companies grow, they're not getting the huge payouts. They're not getting huge stock. As these stories come out, a lot of people are starting to question whether or not the venture capital model, which does prioritize growth above profits and above, you know, sometimes employee welfare, is ideal.
Zoe, we know that the CEO of Away, Steph Corey, announced that she would be stepping down. Is that going to change anything when it comes to workplace culture, or is it too far gone already?
I don't think it's too far gone. Maybe I'm just being optimistic. I think there's a real chance to turn around the culture at Away and at startups like Away. It's symbolically important that Corey stepped down. I think it shows employees that if they speak up, if they speak out about what's going on, their voices can make a real change at these companies. It's no longer okay for executives to kind of treat them poorly. But it's still an open question whether she's actually going to step away enough to give the culture a chance to change. You know, she's still executive chairman at the company. The CEO that's coming in previously worked at Lululemon, which had its own issues with what employees called a toxic work environment. And we also know that it wasn't just Corey who was treating employees poorly. It was behavior that was mimicked by other executives at the company. One thing that I've heard from employees a lot is that it's not enough for the company to just change their mission and values. They actually need to see executives model the correct type of behavior. You can tell employees, oh, you can go home right at 5. If you need to pick up your kids, that's fine. But if your manager is staying till 3 a.m., you're going to feel pressure to do the same. If your manager is working on Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving, you probably won't feel like you can take those days off.
I'm also wondering whether or not some of this has to do with a generational divide between employees who I'm assuming are skewing younger here and maybe the executive suite that might be skewing slightly older, or whether some of this has to do with gender.
I like to think that they would. I mean, I don't think that this is a story about a female CEO as much as it's a story about a somewhat abusive CEO. I also think that having talked to many, many of these employees over months, their issue isn't that they're being asked to work hard. The issue is that they are being lied to and talked to inhumanely. I think that whether you are young or old, like if you are excited about your job, you want to put in the hours, you want to do well and succeed. And sometimes that means working crazy long hours. What you don't want is having a manager eviscerate you in front of the entire company. And I think no matter what age you are, that's true.
Zoe Schiffer is a tech reporter for The Verge, and Aaron Griffith is a reporter at The New York Times covering startups and venture capital. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And Away did not respond to The Takeaway's request for comment, but former CEO and co-founder Steph Corey tweeted last week, quote, "I'm not proud of my behavior in those moments, and I'm sincerely sorry for what I said and how I said it. It was wrong, plain and simple." Corey has since stepped down, though the company says The Verge's reporting did not play a role in her departure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.